Okay, you're about to step into the classroom with the Berean Baptist Academy World Religions class, and I don't mean to alarm anyone at all. This is not news. We're looking at an almost, well, 3.5-year-old article today that I wanted our students acquainted with in regards to the world we live in and the mistaking of Sikh for Muslims. So feel free to listen and leave your comments afterwards.
We're going to pass around a news article here. This one is the one I mentioned yesterday. It is not from 2005 or 2006. It is from 2012, and it is the article from Milwaukee dealing with the gunmen who went through a Sikh temple. And while that's being handed out, let's rehearse a little bit about what we learned about this religion of Sikhism. What does Sikh mean?
Learner.
Very good. Very good. And so this, who is the founder of Sikhism? Yeah, Guru Nanak. And Guru Nanak was from what religion until his conversion?
Hinduism.
And what were there a lot of besides Hindus where he was Muslims? And where did this Nanak come from?
Punjab.
What country is that a part of? Someone else?
India.
Okay. So, and that is not where that Nichiren guy came from in the other world religion that some of you felt like he came from. That's very strange. Like 8 of you put, he came from India. He came from Japan. This guy came from India, okay? And when did his big day, how old was he?
33.
And what happened? He disappeared for how long?
3 days.
And said that he went where?
With God.
Don't know.
I did.
With God, that's right. Okay, so he spent time with God, and that made him feel like it was time to have some disciples and start a new religion. And true or false, Nanak was thought to be God while he was alive.
False.
Okay, who made him God after his death?
Anjad,
right? And that was his successor. Let's see here. What happened? Give me the events surrounding his burial. He died at how old? About 70. And the two groups, the Hindus and the Muslims, wanted both to have the opportunity to either cremate him,
Hindu,
or bury him, Muslim. And he basically, overnight, while they're making their decision, they're going to allow some flowers to decide. On the night after, what happened to his body?
His body was gone. And
yeah. Vanished. Yes. And but both religions built both a shrine and a tomb, respectively, next to a river, and they both washed away in the river some time ago. How long ago was this? About?
400.
About 500 years ago, thank you. Very good. Okay. I think that's about it. Now let's take a look at this article here from August 5th, 2012. And this is found in LA Times. Tattoos on the body of the slain Sikh temple gunmen and certain biographical details led the FBI to treat the attacks at a Milwaukee area temple as an act of domestic terrorism. What's the closest Sikh temple to us?
Durham.
Good. The shootings in Oak Creek, Wisconsin, which is a suburb of Milwaukee, left 7 dead, including the gunman, and 3 critically wounded. One of the injured was a police officer who was expected to survive. The federal official who spoke on the condition of anonymity because he was not authorized to speak to the media refused to say whether the gunman was thought to belong to a hate group or some other violent group because the investigation was still unfolding. Contrary to multiple panic reports from the scene, officials say they believe there is only one shooter, and the Oak Creek police gave control to the FBI. They cautioned against thinking that a concrete link to domestic terrorism group or hate group that has been established. The investigation will have to continue to see and determine the motive. So we're talking about as much as 3 years ago. And by the way, they found out later on that the motive was that the gunmen thought that these were Muslims. I mean, you got to be in left field with a football bat to think that people wearing turbans are Muslims. Basically, what is he looking at?
Skin color.
Yeah, probably skin color.
Wardrobe.
And probably wardrobe. It's just unfortunate, really, in many ways. There's still families, 3.5 years later, that are suffering because they lost a loved one who was trying to worship. I'm not saying they were worshiping. I'm not saying they were worshiping right. I'm saying it's a shame when someone dies and they're in a peaceful religion. This is legitimately a peaceful religion. This is not some sort of hack job like the Muslims where it's, we're a peaceful religion even though we're responsible for most of the genocide on the planet. That's not at all. This actually is a peaceful religion. And you guys should know me enough to know that I'm not saying it's as good as believing on Christ for salvation. I am saying that in America, we should not have to worry about assembling peacefully and worshiping. Just as an American. And by the way, Roger Williams was a Baptist responsible for what colony?
Rhode Island.
And he was a preacher, and he was a politician, and he believed that even though he's a Christian, he believed that Jesus was the only way to heaven and all others go to hell. He still believed that a person ought not to be pushed to a particular commitment, that only the Spirit of God could do the work in a person's heart. So unless the Sikhs are causing pain, suffering, breaking the law, then we're not about making them believe what we believe. Only the Holy Spirit can do that, and He uses the preaching of the gospel. So this happened in Milwaukee, in Wisconsin, 3.5 years ago, just over 3.5 years ago. Well, maybe a little lighter. Let me give you a news that's a little older. This is an article from the Daily News United Kingdom. Does anyone know when I say Buckingham Palace, what do you think of?
Guards.
Yep, that's about right. Oddly enough, that's what this article is about. And who usually stays at Buckingham Palace? Yes. Yeah, usually the... come on, hurry up. Usually the monarchy figures. Of course, we know that England is not a monarchy. It's parliamentary. So, look at this interesting picture here. And it's a series of pictures. Turn the page. Look at the series of pictures. This dude is intense. Look at the top of page 3 there. Old boy is not going to be messed with. He is going to bring the pain if you come too close to the Queen's house. Yeah, I have a feeling he's in the middle of a march there, smart guy. So let's see here, top of the article. Sikh soldier makes history as he guards Buckingham Palace wearing turban instead of traditional bearskin. And you can see that this took place just a few months after the article we just looked at, except it was across the Atlantic Ocean. Changing the guard, unless you thought Milwaukee was in Britain, then I have no help for you. Changing the guard at Buckingham Palace yesterday also offered a glimpse into the changing face of Britain. Standing alongside his fellow Scots guardsmen, resplendent in their bearskins, was Sikh... Holy cow. Jatinderpal Singh Bular. Must be French. The first soldier in his... Okay, you can see he's not. The first soldier in his 180-year-old regiment to swap the traditional headwear for a turban. Sikhs have guarded the Queen many times before, but have always worn the bearskin. There was no mistaking the pride on the face of the guardsman Bular, who wears his regimental cap badge on his turban. He has by the way, what is probably our equivalent to this great Buckingham Palace Guard regiment?
Secret Service?
No, probably not. We're talking about uniformed people.
Berets?
The regiment, the guarding regiment here.
Change order.
Tomb of the Unknown. The guard, Tomb of the Unknown, guard of the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier. I mean, it is pretty, it's pretty awesome. I hope you've been there. If you haven't, you're anywhere near D.C., that is a U.S. Army showcase up there at the Arlington Cemetery, changing of the guard. It is pretty cool. What's really neat is today, let's just say the weather was like this, they'd still be out there doing their 21 steps, waiting for 21 seconds. Right face, 21 seconds. Right face, 21 seconds. Change the weapon, 21 steps, 21 seconds. Left face, 21 seconds. I mean, it's over and over and over and over again for hours. And these men, you have to be the proper weight, the proper height. We have no issue saying we discriminate with the Tomb of the Unknown, okay? It don't matter what your skin color is, but if you're fat, you're not going to be in that unit. If you're too short, you're not going to be in that unit. It's just that simple. You have to be, I think, 5'10 or taller, and you have to have like a body fat percentage of like 6 or less. It's like insanity, really. So they have no issue saying we have standards and get over it. Oh, yeah, you have to be male. So that is that's a pretty big deal there. That is our version of this. So anyway, he was described guarding the Queen as the best thing in my life. Okay, the 25-year-old former builder from West Bromwich,
Bromwich,
the W is silent,
yep.
Who is also distinguished from his fellow soldiers in F Company Scots Guard by his beard, had dreamed of joining the army since learning as a boy that his grandfather had served in the First World War. Some soldiers have said the regiment and its traditions should come before his personal beliefs. Well, that's unfortunate. In the U.S. Army, I can tell you that it allows you to practice your religion so long as it doesn't interfere with mission accomplishment. So apparently, if there's anything like this over there in the Queen's Guard, they are they're going to say, look, it doesn't affect the way he performs, doesn't affect his discipline. Y'all can get over it. And his personal beliefs don't have to come second in this regard. But the guardsman said, conducting public duties while being a practicing Sikh and wearing my turban is a great honor to me. I'm very proud to be a member of the Household Division and be the first Sikh guardsman to mount guard in a turban while will be the best thing in my life, especially as a member of the Scots Guard. So that's the name of the unit. The regiment is full of history, as is my religion. Guardsman Bular has just joined F Company Scots Guards, what is known as the incremental company of soldiers responsible for delivering ceremonial duties in London. As a 5K Sikh, someone who adheres to all five symbols that mark Sikh identity, he'll also be distinguishable from his fellow soldiers on parade by his beard. And then in the Household Division, they've guarded the Queen many times. Well, let's see. I think I've already read that, haven't I? Is that the end of the article? Sure is. Isn't it? Yeah. Okay. I don't know. I guess it is. So, anyways, there you have it. I've seen a few of these in the Army. Yes, they always have beards. Yes, they always have turbans. And yes, years ago I thought, it must be Muslim. I'm telling you the truth. I mean, because who else wears that stuff? We have to be careful that we're not ill-educated in how we see these folks. Because you remember from what we taught yesterday, they're not Muslim. So let's talk a little bit about their sacred book. This textbook on the bottom of page 401 is being nice. It's describing it as sacred scripture. Their sacred scripture is known as the Granth Sahib, also known as the Lord's Book. This work was composed by several dozen authors, some living prior to Guru Nanak and having only a distant relationship to Sikhism. It contains a collection of poems of various lengths and totals some 29,480 rhymed verses. Woo! Turn the page. A unique feature of this work is the number of languages utilized in its composition. It's written in six different languages and several dialects. Naturally, that means... What are you looking at, bud?
The book.
Huh? Okay. Naturally, that means that probably very few people can read the entire book. So, I mean, how many languages does the Bible use?
Two.
Primarily two. There are some sections that are Aramaic and Ezra and Daniel, but Chaldean, Aramaic, not so much Aramaic. There are some Aramaic words in the New Testament, some in the Old Testament, but there's Chaldean language in Ezra and Daniel. Why would you expect it to be in those two books?
They're in the
Babylonian captivity. You'd expect the Babylonians to speak Chaldean, and they did. Daniel was brought up in the palace there. But you're pretty safe saying that there's primarily just two languages used in the original writing of the New Testament, Hebrew and Greek. All right. You might notice the bottom paragraph of this section. The average, middle of the paragraph, the average Sikh devotee knows very little about this sacred book, and it is for this reason not essential to practicing to their religious training. Most Sikhs do not know the contents of their sacred book. They do treat it with reverence, almost to the point of idolatry. And that is, I guess, a lot like Catholicism. For years and years and years and years and years, they couldn't read the Bible. It was in a language that no one read in the common world. But, boy, they loved it. It was like a relic. I mean, it was a big deal. So, all right, any questions about what we've covered today?